Cool.
I'm ready.
Keep all that in.
Yeah, of course I will.
Hello. Hi. And welcome to this episode of I Hate Your Movie.
On this computer-based episode, we're going to surf the web. Whoa. 32 megabytes of memory. Whoa.
I can fit like 4 songs on this MP3 player.
Whoa.
My internet's got 128 kbps.
Whoa.
Anyway.
Wolfenstein, that's the best graphics I've ever seen.
Whoa!
You can move left to right. Three-dimensionally, but not up and down.
That's just blowing my mind. It's like, is that still two-dimensional then?
If you look from above, yeah.
Yeah.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
3D game, whoa!
Cool. I want to do the tagline to the podcast now.
Oh, sorry.
A movie podcast where we inflict movies upon each other for your entertainment.
Electronic mail.
Whoa!
Anyway, welcome to the Millennial Nostalgia Podcast.
Yeah! What?
I think if you could like map out our common interest, which there is not a lot, other than film, I think it is like old computery bits. I think that is high on the list.
Shall we tell them what we watched?
Oh, sorry.
You're so excited.
We watched Pride and Prejudice.
So we watched the 1995 film, The Net, starring Sandra Bullock.
Yeah, Catching Butterflies.
What?
The Net.
Fucking hell.
I'm aiming to do this for every movie now. I started like 3 movies ago. I make an alternate movie based on the title.
So, set in 1995, Sandra Bullock is a computer person.
Yeah.
She isolates viruses and she helps computers work.
Mm-hmm.
And she gets dragged into a conspiracy where the software on computers can make you disappear.
Yeah, your data.
All of your data can be edited in the entire world.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, so she goes on the run.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. That's about it, really. So it's, I will say this, it's a rare Sandra Bullock film where there isn't like a proper love interest. Not like a proper dreamy man love interest.
I mean, they still tried somehow.
I don't think they did. They just set up a villain. I think it was a misdirect, you know? It was kind of like, oh, we've cast Sandra Bullock and there's this handsome man.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they're going to end up together. Oh, no, they're not. This film, by the way, if you haven't seen it, the reason I've recommended this film is because it was one of my absolutely favorite films when I was younger.
Really?
Yeah, I genuinely have watched this film like dozens of times.
Non-ironically.
I think so.
Favorite.
And I was trying to figure out why. Because I've never really been a fan of Sandra Bullock. No. She's all right.
Yeah.
Speed's good.
She's boring in this.
We like Speed. I think she does a pretty good job in this.
I think she does shy nerd without any additional layers.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was just very like a flat performance. And she's very quiet. And there's no moment when she gets so upset by her identity stolen that she bursts out or does something radical. She's just like always like reserved nerd.
Yeah, but that's script writing more than... There's no bit of it where she could have acted better to see that.
I disagree.
Okay. I think when she's in the hospital and the dude dies...
Still, like, when she talks to the lawyer lady, she's like, oh, can you not believe that there's this government conspiracy?
Yeah, she bangs the desk. She does a few things. And I tell you now, I tell you now, the bit where she's on the phone to her mum, like,
mm-hmm.
I think she does that really well. She's like, that's like heartbreaking. Okay.
Still, like, I wanted more a bit.
Yeah.
I wanted a bit more. She was too reserved.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted her to kick in the gun shop and start commandoing it up.
So yeah, this, and I was trying to figure out why, anyway, back to what I was... We were saying, I was talking about why this film was one of my favorites, and I think it is purely just computers. I genuinely do. I played a lot of video games, and I remember like my family had a computer. We were one of the first people that I knew to have a computer.
Oh, wow.
And I was really into it. But you didn't really see much computer stuff in 1995 for some reason.
Yeah.
I think I probably just didn't really understand that it was, like, negative.
Oh, yeah.
I think I was just like, hey, cool, doing keystrokes. Look, mm-hmm. that person's coding. It's amazing.
That was a big shock to me, how anti-computer this movie is.
I think it's, yeah, well, I'm not sure it's anti-computer, but it's definitely a warning.
Yeah.
I mean, this is 1995, mm-hmm. and this is a film about how much information you put on the internet and how that can negatively impact your life.
This goes into my one-sentence review.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Which is, this movie is prime for a remake.
Yeah.
I think there's a core of an idea that's really good, but it's so stuck in the 90s, they can't really blossom. But with today's ideas of identity, and it really is everything online,
mm-hmm.
and really is a lot of, like, companies selling your data and all that shit. This would make a really cool movie.
Do you think, though, that it would be as... And I use this word very, very loosely. Do you think it would be as realistic? And the reason I've used that word, I'd say... is that, like...
I can't tell if you're trolling me.
Surely, right, at this point, cybersecurity has gotten to, like, a whole... new level, whereas early days of the internet, like, there was a lot of people in positions of, like, power, of, you know, who collected data that didn't know anything about cybersecurity, and therefore, you know, there was a lot of things, like, ripe for the taking.
I think it's like a dance. It kind of comes and goes, the threat and the security level.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can do, like, what is really coming up right now is, like, quantum computing.
Yep.
That could be scary,
mm-hmm.
because what takes a regular computer with regular transistors like 10,000 years to calculate your bank password, it takes a quantum computer minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that could be, like, a big game changer. And it's up to the defense people how they're going to combat that, you know. So it depends. But I think with today's kind of infrastructure, it'd be a more interesting movie.
Yeah.
With, like... Yeah, because there's always, like, things that come out. There was the, you know, Facebook collects your data. You could make it more corporation-y rather than government.
Yep.
Or, like, merge the two. But I think it today would make a better...
But do you think as well, though, like, because the amount of data, like, you have on the internet in 1995, you know, she's in a chat room and all her data is, like, driving license, house deed, that kind of thing. Do you not think there's too much information for someone to just wipe it? Like, if someone was trying to delete my existence, have they got to go back and, like, find my MySpace page and delete all the Linkin Park songs off of it?
Sure, I guess so.
My Bebo is still there with its Weeble stuff cartoons on it.
You can make, like, social media platforms comply with things to delete a person or things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think all the important stuff is on government sites.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how easy it would be to change that. But I think it'd be easier than in 95. And that's what, like, my core problem with that movie is not really the technology, but how much people believe in the technology. Because, so the big threat in the movie is this big security program that overhauls the whole government.
Yep.
It was introduced 6 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then for some reason, no one believes that that's the problem. You know, when immediately you think that's the problem. Especially in 1995, but people...
Nobody thinks there is a problem. It's not that they don't believe that that's what the problem is. Nobody thinks there is a problem.
I think in 95, if you're caught by the police and then you tell them, my identity was stolen because of this... new thing that was introduced, this cybersecurity, I think people will take it more seriously than, like, today.
Okay.
I think the trust in software really skyrocketed,
mm-hmm.
compared to what it was in 95, you know? Like, really, people so don't believe her. I would think at least one or two person would take her seriously.
Yeah, and it'd be easy to write into the film that, yeah, you just, someone takes her seriously and then dies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Murdered or something.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a, air quotes, accident.
It was a good movie. It wasn't what I was expecting. I was expecting hackers, like, like, constant computing. It was like, I'm hacking into the government mainframe. And it was more realistic than that.
Yeah, do you know what?
Problem, you know, because I wish it was that.
Do you know what I love about this film is how much she uses the mouse.
Okay.
Because that's the biggest thing in, like, these hacker movies. Everyone's always typing on the keyboards. No one's writing code. No one writes a virus on the fly. You know, you write it, you have it set aside, and then you click to say, yep, run that, please. Surely.
But also, I think it was more keyboard-based in the 90s because DOS was just keyboard-based and just commands. So I think it'd be more realistic without the mouse.
No, because this is Windows. This is still
especially
Windows.
Hackers, they wouldn't use like a visual interface.
Yeah, of course you would.
Use code.
Yeah, but you would code a visual interface, so you just a go button.
Heck here button.
I remember we did. We had this, a buddy of mine, but we put it on our friend's computer and it was connected over the internet and it was the stupidest thing in the world. He created a program that just opened the CD drive just randomly. So we'd be sitting like in our home and we'd be able to connect and we're, oh, he's online. And we click a button and again, it had a little Windows interface open.
Yeah.
And it would just in their house, the CD tray would just open. And they came to us a little while later and like, something wrong with my PC, the CD tray keeps opening.
Yeah, I had a Commodore 64, and I remember just to run that shit, you had to know a lot of coding.
Mm-hmm.
It's so weird, like thinking back now. You had to know all these fucking like 100 different like commands and how to type them in and exactly how much space to leave before the hash key and the slash and things like that, you know. So weird, just to run games, you had to put in this stupid code that if I could read it once, I'd remember it. It was like E-M-, and it's like every game. You had to type it in. So weird. So unfriendly by today's standards. We're introduced to...
Angela Bennett. Or Ruth Marx. Which will make sense later.
Communism is here. The ruthless Marxist. She's playing Wolfenstein.
She is playing Wolfenstein, which is cool.
3D! Whoa! Or is it?
Yeah, she's playing Wolfenstein. Mm-hmm. The original Sandra Bullock gamer girl.
Yeah.
Should be on a poster somewhere. That like, feels like a poster I would have had in 1995.
Would in people in 95? Because that still feels a bit weird, the gamer girl thing.
Mm-hmm.
It feels new. Would in 95 that would be the most ridiculous thing in this movie?
No, I don't think it's new at all.
Well, it's new in public perception. I don't think it's a new concept in the world. I think gamer girls were always existed. But I think it's like public perception of gamers were like, you know, fat nerds with a beard, you know.
What are you talking about? How dare you?
Saying this unblinking eye contact. Looking at you, picking up your body parts. Yeah.
To be honest, I think we've overstated it because she's not playing it for the sake of it. She's playing it because it activates a virus.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, yeah. She plays it and then the whole screen goes wibbly.
Okay.
Because that's how viruses work.
Well. When's the last time you had to deal with the computer virus?
Never.
Never?
I don't really know. I don't update my computers anywhere near as often as I should. So they just kind of like outdate themselves. They go really slow.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell whether how much of that's computer virus and how much of it is the fact I'm trying to play GTA on a fucking like 12-year-old laptop.
Or it's planned obsolescence.
What?
It's a concept where electronics, there's a built-in function that goes wrong after a while, so you buy another one.
Like all Apple phones.
Yes, but I think the more notable one is like light bulbs. Like, have you ever noticed?
Yeah.
You used to be able to buy light bulbs everywhere in the world, and now it's really hard to buy a light bulb. It is because... when light bulbs were invented, all the three manufacturers decided to use a lesser kind of filament.
Yeah.
That would burn out in like 2 years.
Yeah, like one of the first light bulbs ever made is like still going.
Yes. Yes, and it's back due to like, you know, lawsuits and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, LEDs really like took it to another level.
Planned obsolescence. Today's word is planned obsolescence.
I tell you now. Right, in my experience, because I've built PCs for a living. I used to be a web developer and I've coded all kinds of things throughout my life. I tell you now, the biggest waste of money I've ever seen is antivirus. You get more pop-ups from the antivirus than it blocks.
Yeah.
It's a complete waste of money.
I've dealt with viruses before and they crashed my computer before, but not since year 2005.
No.
I think they've been really up to date with that shit. Sandra Bullock.
Sandra Bullock. She's a lonely girl. Or is she lonely? Is she portrayed as lonely? Because she seems happy in what...
She seems happy. She's more like a hermit.
Mm-hmm.
Intentionally avoiding people.
Yeah. So, and this is where you see all of the brand new wonders of the internet. She orders a pizza online. Whoa!
And she books a flight online.
Whoa!
Surfing the web, bro. What do you think the last person who genuinely said surfing the web? What year was that?
When was this film released?
95.
About 96.
Okay.
Right, so we're about 30 seconds into this film so far.
While she's in the chat rooms.
Yes.
She's asked what's her preferred man by a 12-year-old boy, later we find out. By the way. Dodgy as fuck, but fine. And she gives this fucking long description.
Mm-hmm.
That's like 3 paragraphs long.
Yeah. I wrote it down if you'd like me to read it. Yeah, I did.
Please do.
Yeah. The man she's looking for, you know, the everyman.
the everyman
that's walking down the street.
Yeah.
He needs to be butch, brilliant, beautiful. Captain America meets Albert Schweitzer, spends all day running into the fray to save democracy, and nights playing Bach.
So he wants a Nicolas Cage in National Treasure. Or something. Have we ever found out who's Alex Schweikart is?
Alex Schweitzer? No, Albert Schweitzer.
Albert
I did Schweitzer. Look it up, actually. I'm going to ask the producer. Producer, who is Albert Schweitzer? He was a theologian, organist, musicologist, writer, humanitarian, philosopher, and physician. So the everyman,
everyman.
You know.
Plus Captain America.
You just mix that with Captain America and you dime a dozen. This is just walking down the street. I do wonder, though, whether she gave that description just kind of like so the guys would stop asking her out.
Yeah, the 12-year-old boy stop asking her out.
Like, there's no way, like, on that chat room, she hasn't been asked out like 100 times already.
Do you know what we needed? One of those guys in the chat room sent her an image. And then there's like, hold on. It's a real time image download, a 90s image download of a dick pic, but it's like, it just slowly comes in and there's like tense music over it.
Hairy, gut,
pubes,
pubes.
And then we watch it in real time as it loads in. Do the half the runtime of this film. And then she goes on a holiday.
Well, she goes to visit her mum first.
Oh, yeah.
And she gets the virus. Mozart's ghost.
Whoa.
There's a little pie symbol in the bottom right-hand corner. You click it and it takes you to the US medical website.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, okay, well, enough of that. I'm going on holiday.
Yeah, nothing to worry about here.
I don't know if you're talking about it now or later. But I do appreciate the setup and payoff of a lot of this film.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. Like, that virus that we spoke about that she gets that affects Wolfenstein, like, that comes up, like, the very end of the film.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was really clever.
Yeah. Even though I called it, and the Alzheimer's mother as well comes mm-hmm. back. It's like, oh, no one can identify her. Like, a faithful thing. Only her mum could identify her, but she has Alzheimer's.
Hmm.
What's happening with 90s movies and Alzheimer's and this and fucking Deep Blue Sea? What's going on?
Well, they're connected, you see. In Deep Blue Sea, they're specifically trying to cure Sandra Bullock's mum from the net.
Yeah, then we needed like a post-credit scene where Thomas Jane bursts in the door. I've got it. I've stuck a needle in a shark's brain. Now I'm going to stick it in your skull and just press
it. It's going to inject it straight into your brain.
Yeah.
And electric will happen.
So, holiday.
Yeah. Oh, no, we missed a bit. Oh, sorry, gosh. I wanted to...
This is already a longer recording than fucking Human Tornado.
Because, I mean, I'm going to use that word again, right?
Yeah.
The least realistic part of this film
is...
Well, there's two really unrealistic parts of this film. So, the Mozart's ghost virus is happening. And, like, her colleague wants to talk to her in person about it.
Oh, yeah.
Flimsy excuse for a date, if you ask me, right? So he says, I'm going to fly down to meet you. First unrealistic thing, he's flying himself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's a pilot in his own little, like...
And a computer plane. Hacker.
Yeah.
Person.
You know, again, dime a dozen.
Yeah.
You throw a rock in your street in 1995 and you will find a pilot / computer hacker man. So he's flying his plane, sure.
Yeah.
But I don't think, And I, even the plane in the film didn't show enough computer elements for his plane to be hacked so that he doesn't know where he is.
Was it hacked? Wasn't it just over communication? They confused him or something like that?
No. So his instruments
told
him that he was by a runway and that he was coming into land.
Mm-hmm.
But they'd been hacked, so where he actually was, slightly above, apparently, a very dark nuclear power plant.
Yeah, it was the Springfield nuclear power plant. Homer Simpson had just finished his shift. But yeah, it was like, well, you would see that coming down this giant concrete slabs.
You can see like buildings and shit.
Yeah,
even in the dark, because they have lights on them.
Yes, and he dies. And then Sandra Bullock is really emotional about it.
Oh, no. Anyway.
Yeah.
I'm going on holiday to the Bahamas.
Bye.
And it's never brought up again. Like, no. She's not sad about it enough for me. Next scene, she's sitting on the beach like, hey. So, yeah, so now she's on holiday.
Yeah.
Typing away.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's a workaholic. One of my favorite lines of this film. The hunky guy comes over and he starts talking to her. Because he ordered the same drink as her, because they know. And my favourite line of the whole film, because he's got a laptop, and she looks over at him, and she's like, nice bit of hardware.
She should have been suspicious of that guy immediately. Because they talk about that he's a hacker as well. And what are the chances of...
Do they talk about he's a hacker?
Yeah, a little bit.
I think he just says that, oh, we're sad, aren't we, sitting around on our laptops.
Before that.
Yeah.
They're like, are you in the business as well? It's like, yeah, I'm in the business.
Yeah, the IT business.
I felt like I have a more specific language, but sure.
Okay. But yeah, he's the hunky guy. He is Captain America meets Albert Schweitzer, apparently. That's who they cast for that.
Maybe if you like really put those concepts together, what you get is like the monster from The Substance. it's like one arm hair, you know, like a really like a monstrous figure, and that's what she wants.
I can create philosophical concepts all day. Yeah, so they go on a whirlwind romance.
Wow.
And I felt at this point that you were like, your eyes started glazing. You just didn't really get on board.
I didn't mind the romance. I just thought that like the plot is not really going.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it kind of was, but it started kind of exciting with like the guy dies and there's like virus and mm-hmm. computers. And then it's just like, let's go out to the sea, you know. And then I feel like it could have been, for how predictable it was, I felt like it could have been shortened a lot.
Yeah.
That because they go out to the sea and then they
twice.
That's what I mean. Is that they go out to see romantic night, and then the guy decides to make this elaborate, stealing her purse,
mm-hmm.
and then he fucks her, and then they go out to the sea again. Yeah, you could have just put that all together instead of this weird fake out romance, which we know is not going to happen anyway.
Mm-hmm. I mean, for starters, what woman just meets a guy and then he's like, oh, do you want to go out to sea?
Yeah.
In the middle of nowhere.
Especially a shy, socially awkward person.
There is not a woman alive today who would agree to that.
Yeah.
And I say alive today because...
Because they're not.
Because they're not.
That whole scene when she discovers the gun. We know she's going to discover the gun. Mm-hmm. It's dragged out so long. She like gets up slowly. They talk about how she never has sex on the first date. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's just like, oh, come on, get to the point.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just annoying. And this is at that point where I still thought it's going to be like pro computer.
Okay.
So I thought she's going to hack the boat or something. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Something.
Again, people were just not good at sorting out like modes of transport in 1995, because she sails away on a little dinghy boat and crashes into a big fucking rock.
That's where I wrote down. Are all computer hackers short-sighted?
Yes, it's the answer.
Because this is 5 minutes after the guy crashes into the really obvious nuclear power plant. We're slowly coming up to a segment where I need some coke to...
Some coke?
To moisturize my vocal cords. Do you know what we're coming up to slowly?
No.
Okay.
I think I do.
You think you do?
Yeah, it's a weird, like, exposition dump. She slept with this guy, and she's on the boat, and she thinks everything's fine at this point. So she casually tells him about the fact that she had a shrink that she slept with, which is dodgy as fuck.
They had a proper relationship.
Then, but he was married as well, and it all blew up in her face. Because, I mean, why wouldn't it?
Who's at fault there, really? It's hard to tell. The morality.
It's terrible. It's a terrible situation.
Yeah. I hope we never hear from that guy.
What's funny about it is, like, the description of her dream guy and sleeping with her marriage shrink is so far apart. So, yeah. So, when she's in recovery, she's recovered from her boating accident. She goes back. She's not Angela Bennett anymore. Some hacking has happened. And they've changed her name to Ruth Marks.
But this way, really flared up to me is like the lady who comes up to her is like, "Oh no, your name is Ruth Marks on the paper." It's like, "No, that's not my name." Like in 95, she just goes back and like fixes it or something, or just or just looks into it.
But it's got a photo of Sandra Bullock on it.
Yeah, software error happens all the time, especially in 95. You know, like they never double question, and that's why I felt like this movie was so one-sided against computers in a way, or like cautionary, but whatever. But like it portrayed it in a very comical way. It's like no one ever questions the software. Everyone always just hails the software, you know, like there can't be anything wrong with that. It must be the person, which would never happen in real life.
I don't know. I think it would. And I think you're right that people would go back to the computer and be like, what the fuck's going on? But you just ain't got time for that. This film's pretty long as it is. For a film in 1995, I think this film's like an hour and 45 minutes.
I think it's 1995 minutes.
I don't mean you've got time for... I mean, if you cut out some of the romance, then you might have time for a bit more like questioning of the software. But
yeah, well, yeah, should have been something more to give it like... To give Sandra Bullock like a better case.
Yeah.
Just because everyone flat out refusing to look into this, it would have strengthened like the drama of it a bit more if they look into it and they come up with nothing.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, the only person who knows who she is in the entire world because she's a hermit is her ex-lover / psychiatrist.
Yeah. My favorite part of the whole movie.
Who is the worst shrink in the world.
And one of the worst human beings possible.
He actually is.
Okay, so imagine a shrink. What do you imagine?
Someone well-dressed, well-demeanored, calm.
Listens to you.
He listens. He processes what's happening and really tries to delve into the kind of like...
Come on! Come on!
Come on!
Come on! I'm walking here.
I'm walking here.
Do not imagine an 80s businessman, New York businessman, big loud Italian businessman.
He is a cartoon of himself. It's ridiculous.
He's a cartoon from a different film. He's like, he should be in Wall Street. You know, one of the minor characters in Wall Street is like, I'm selling this stock, you know?
He should be in Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Yeah.
He's just walking down the street.
Come on.
Come on.
Come on, give me
what
a smile.
What are you talking about, Angela?
What's a depression?
The computers. What do you mean, the computers?
Why, come on, lady. Come Why on. Are you so down in the dumps? Just smile. He said that something. Just smile. What's wrong? Come on.
Give me a smile.
So he was our comic relief, accidental comic relief in this movie.
My favorite bit is in the whole thing. He's given this whole like thing and she turns to him and she's like, oh, you still think I'm crazy, don't you? And he's like, yes.
Yes.
You're her shrink. You can't say that to her.
I love them.
He was so funny. Everything about him was loud, obnoxious, and annoying.
Mm-hmm. Everything you want in a shrink. Come on.
Come on.
I'm dying over here.
He does die.
There's a few moments where I just want to bring up our jokes
during
the movie, which unfortunately I didn't record. I should have, because there were some golden moments in there. But there were a lot of things like he's laying down in his deathbed and he's like, come closer. Come closer, Angie. And we just went, come on. I'm dying over here. Come on. I made you laugh harder than I made you laugh in a really long time.
Yeah.
Yes. Do you remember what it was?
No.
I do. But it's going to be a bit lame to recount it.
Okay.
It's not going to work as well. But I just want to mention it. Because it just works with the movie visuals. Where she's on her computer in a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And then the scene is about to end. And there's a dramatic like sting. The camera zooms in on the computer and it says disconnected from the internet. TP link error, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, this could only mean one thing.
Oh, yeah. I do remember that.
Someone picked up the phone in the hotel. And they just laughed for like 2 minutes straight. I was proud of myself a lot. Because it was like the visual of the dramatic, like, boom, boom, link disconnected. Yeah.
Mom, put down the phone. Yeah, so what she was doing at that time on that laptop was trying to get hold of her chat room buddies, which is stupid because one of them is definitely the bad guy.
That's the thing, because the bad guy recounts the...
the whole chat from the chat room, yeah.
Yeah, the ideal man that she had.
She goes and talks to Cyber Bob, or she tries to talk to Cyber Bob, who meets... Do you remember what she says? She types?
No.
They arrange to meet IRL.
Oh, yeah.
What?
And then what I said was like,
explain it.
You gotta explain it. It could have been Ireland.
Do you want to meet IRL? To someone just standing in Dublin. Like, yeah. What? Come on now, where are you?
Cork IRL.
So, yeah, Dr. Dice. Spoiler alert.
He was my favorite character.
He was my favorite character as well. Do you know what I'd have liked to have seen?
Mm.
I'd like to swap the villain character with his character.
That would be wonderful.
You know?
I'd love that. I'd love that for so much.
Come on! Give me the disc!
Give me the floppy disc. He has 2 megabytes of memory on it. Come on!
I'm sailing here!
I'm surfing the web over here. Oh, that would make this movie a 10 out of 10 experience. Genuinely. So they hack his immune system.
Yes.
almost literally.
Where he's allergic to penicillin.
Yeah.
And they change his record so he gets penicillin.
Yeah.
And he dies. It's very sad.
Wouldn't they double check his allergy?
It's on
after the first time.
It's on the computer.
Oh, it's on the computer. I can't. There you go. It has to be true then.
Well, this is it. They printed out his records from the computer.
Especially doctors in the 90s just brainlessly go with whatever computer says, right?
Absolutely.
They just ask Clippy. How many episodes we talked about Clippy in this podcast? At least like 5, I think. It has kind of a generic story progression. She's like, things always get worse and then she ends up in prison. Before she gets arrested, I want to talk about some really... minuscule things that really bugged the fuck out of me.
Okay.
Which is movie rain. Movie rain. I think people got movie rain down. I think they understand like how it looks. And it's very rare that it looks really bad. Snow is still sometimes. It looks a bit plasticky sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And too even. This is the worst movie rain I've ever seen. Which is literally, it looked like is she's driving. And then in front of her, on her bonnet...
Someone's got a small hose.
Someone's got a small hose that they have their finger on, so it spreads out a little bit. It's just like, it's like 100% on her windscreen, and then nowhere else on the screen.
No, it's not raining at all in the background. The roads aren't wet. It doesn't even look remotely wet.
It's so uneven, the amount of water. It's just like loads here, a little bit there, constantly splashing down. It looks so bad.
I didn't really understand any of that. They could have just arrested her. But they gave her this car chase thing where she drives the BMW off the road and then like gets caught in a river or something.
You need some sort of action set pieces.
Mm.
I suppose the producers thought it might be a bit boring.
Mm.
She just completely stealth all the time.
I will say, like, I'm not sure if it's like cleverly written loosely or just kind of it's just well done. I think like some of the stuff she comes up with to escape, it's quite clever.
Yeah.
Yeah, like when she's driving the BMW and she needs somewhere to sleep for the night, she parks it onto a BMW showroom.
Yeah, that was fun, yeah. Yeah.
And like when she escapes the office, because she sets off the fire extinguishers in the office and there's people like coming to get her and she dresses up as a firewoman and escapes the building that way. I thought it was quite clever.
That one's a bit whatever.
No?
It was like cartoonish again, a bit.
Why?
I don't know. It feels like what Ninja Turtles do, to blend in to fucking society, you know?
And what did you think about the end?
What happens? Yes. I got one big problem with it.
Okay.
Is that this movie is like cautionary computer. Don't use it. It makes you antisocial. It makes you... And then she uses computers to save the day.
Yeah.
If I wrote this movie, she'd go back to nature and just live off the land. That's what clearly the movie is trying to say.
Well, it's kind of like careful how much you trust it more than don't use it at all.
Yeah. Or like, do you remember that Star Trek Next Generation episode where it's ship in a bottle and then they go up to this ancient spaceship and then... The more energy they use, the more captured they are.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have to switch off everything. It should have been something like that. She pulls out the connector, the AC.
Pulls out the phone wire.
He pulls out the phone wire. What are you going to do now, bitch? One Ethernet cable for the whole government by the Lincoln Monument to make it exciting or whatever. Lights out, motherfucker. That's what should have happened. Instead, she just uses hacking to save the day.
Well, she that was the funny bit about it. She emails the FBI, like a virus. And we're like, this virus is killing people. Find out about it. And someone apparently gets that, despite no one believing her for the entire film.
Yeah.
This one person gets this email and believes her and goes arrest everyone. Well, I mean, I'd say now, we watched this film because it was funny bad. But I enjoyed it. I don't think it was funny bad.
I mean, other than the shrink character.
Yeah.
The crazy thing about the technology there was so widespread that everyone's using it. That was the crazy part in it. But like the tech itself wasn't crazy.
Yeah. They didn't try and go air quotes, futuristic.
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty realistic in some ways. It's more than what I imagined, you know?
Yeah.
For 95 movie about the internet. It's crazy how... down to earth it was, kind of, you know.
Yeah,
the restraint.
Do you think in 1995 it was that though, but they just got it right so we remember it? Like, this was like they were kind of invented 1999 technology, but it just happened to be right, so now as we remember it, it's spot on.
I think the level of tech was realistic, but not the widespread of it. Not that every government agency all over the place have the same thing, you know, and everyone from pharmacy to library to everyone looks at computers all the time for information. No, everyone's just using paper still and, you know, cave paintings or whatever. That was the unrealistic part, I think.
Okay.
But the level of technology is pretty on point. I mean, maybe you can say that like a floppy, this is like my speculation. I don't think a floppy could hold that much information to have a virus that breaks into the government.
No.
It's like what I said with the quantum computers. You need like a crazy big file to just sort through all that code and keep trying things over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
She needed like 30 floppy disks that she switches out.
Yeah, did you ever install Windows on floppy disks? There was like 15 different things you had to do in sequential order.
I had Worms Armageddon on floppy disks.
Yes.
There's like 40 floppy disks in the WinRAR. You know, and just different parts than different floppy disks. Yeah, I remember those fun days.
Yes, the net.
Mm-hmm.
What are you giving out of 10?
5.
Yeah!
And that's like a genuine score.
Yeah, yeah.
As well, not like a funny bad movie score. I don't think this is a funny bad movie.
No.
I think it's a genuine...
I thought it would be, but it's not.
I thought it would be too. It would be probably higher if it was funny and bad. Some very dated things in it, but it's the core premise still holds up. I think, you know, they make all these remakes of fucking Total Recall that no one watches and things like that. Remakes of good films. But I think what remakes should be reserved to is old films that have some sort of good idea that wasn't fleshed out properly or they didn't have the
before
budget.
Before its time or something.
Before its time. And I think this is prime for a remake. What are you giving it?
I'm also giving it a 5.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Matches.
I would rewatch this film if it had a reason.
So,
oh god, all right, oh god,
it's movie recommendation time.
Movie, and just the look on your face gives me nightmares.
I come up with an idea because you are running out of movies.
Yep,
I have the opposite problem. I'm struggling to recommend because I've got the abundance of recommendations.
Okay,
So I come up with this test survey.
Okay, this is interesting.
To see what would you like to see.
Okay.
It's between two movies.
Yeah.
Both of them are kind of silly in different ways.
Right.
I'm just going to give you words. It's like a word association game.
Yeah.
And see which word you like more.
Okay.
So we're going to watch that movie that you mostly pick.
Okay.
Bald or long hair?
Bald. Do I have to explain my answers or?
No.
Okay, cool. No.
It's just vibes.
Yeah.
We're going off vibes.
Okay, yeah, like long hair, hippie, nonsense film.
Okay. Midland European accent or Cockney?
Ugh. What's Midland European?
If I explain it further, you'll guess what it is.
A guy Midland European.
It's not UK.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going Midland European because Cockney accents, it's lock, stock and all that nonsense.
Fantasy or action?
Ooh, that's a good question. Oh, fantasy. And now it explains the long hair.
Crazy or cool?
Cool.
Okay, I think 1-1, but I'll ask you the last one anyway.
Yeah.
Adrenaline or big wheel?
Adrenaline, because big wheel doesn't make any sense as a question.
It's a word association.
Still.
You chose willingly Conan the Barbarian.
Right.
Long hair, Midland European accent.
Right.
Austria. If I said Austrian accent, you'd be like, mm-hmm. That's a Schwarzenegger film.
Mm-hmm.
Fantasy, cool. And there's a big wheel in it. I'm not going to explain that.
Are you ever going to tell me what the other film was?
I don't know. Should I?
Yeah, I think so. What did I even narrowly avoid, or what should I have had?
I think what you narrowly avoided, in my estimation, you'd like that better.
Yeah?
But I don't have the best track record, so who the fuck knows anymore? It'd be Crank with Jason Statham.
Ah!
Hey, we'll come back to it.
Ah, but I chose Bald.
But you chose everything else except Bald and Adrenaline, and you chose Middle European Fantasy Cool.
Okay.
And Big Wheel. So we're watching Conan the Barbarian, 1982, with Arnie.
Yeah.
It's kind of a silly movie. It's kind of, the reason I want you to see it is because when we had the discussion of, what episode was that when it was like, movies we'd like to see or something like that?
Yeah.
You said like, there's no good fantasy movies other than Lord of the Rings.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a good fantasy film. It's nothing like Lord of the Rings, because what is, you know?
Yeah.
But I think it's one of the examples of like a good fantasy. It's still silly.
I am not hopeful. I'm picturing people sitting on like rock faces in terrible makeup. Almost like a post-apocalyptic kind of wasteland where people are dressed up as silly orcs, but with terrible, like old school Star Wars, but mm-hmm. cheaper.
It doesn't quite go hard on the fantasy aspect as that.
Okay.
I don't think there's orcs. I think there's magic.
I'm picturing Labyrinth, you know?
No, it's
Labyrinth.
It's less crazy than that.
Okay.
Barney really elevates it. Anyway.
Cool. So that's our next film.
Conan the Barbarian.
Conan the Barbarian.
With James Earl Jones as well.
Yeah.
He's the bad guy, yeah. With the funny haircut.
And a big wheel.
Yeah, the big wheel. Big wheel is my favorite part of the film, and you'll see it in the first 5 minutes.
Okay. Right. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.
With the assistance of the Outside Broadcast Unit, we will be linking from the database studio to their home. Pat Green and Julian, welcome to database.
Hello, Jane.
Hello, Jane.
Now, Julian, I see you have your computer linked to the telephone line. Can you tell us how you did that?
Yes, well, it's very simple, really. The telephone is connected to the telephone network with a British Telecom plug, and I simply remove the telephone jack from the telecom socket and plug it into this box here, the modem. I then take another wire from the modem and plug it in where the telephone was. I can then switch on the modem and we're ready to go. The computer's asking me if I want to log on, and it's now telling me to phone up the main Presell computer, which I will now do.
It's a very simple connection to make.
Extremely simple. Extremely simple. It's very simple, really.